thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Thank you. Committed to now we have the previous God our Father, who created you. You are his dearly loved child. Some of us here, we feel so unlovable to God. We feel we have sinned too much. We have made our lives. We feel like we made our lives and made our homes a complete mess. In fact, the Lord has made a complete mess of things. But God is committed to you to bring the chaos. Like a mother watching the children's garden dreams that comes swimming through every step on the floor and she picks things up and she picks it in place. The same way our Father God is picking up the pieces of our shattered and messy lives and right now putting them in place. He is committed to us. I want to see those ones that have to go back to this story. Chapter 4. This is the message that Christ, God in Christ, has forgiven us of every sin. Now we have to ask ourselves, how much has he forgiven us? How deep is his forgiveness? How comprehensive is my sin? Is it his enemies? Is it causing sin? He takes people who are far off and brings them into his kingdom. He takes the very people who have rebelled against him, who have rejected him. He takes the worst of sinners and then smiles at them and says, I am your Father. This is radical forgiveness. This is radical love. But to think for a moment how much he loves you. And I'll ask yourself, Jesus. The word that comes to me is the doctor. I'm not going to
we did, right? What we did was we followed God. We made a sign of our attention. And then we sent it into it. And we made it to my first. And the first was kind of like a long story. Giving love, he's modeling for us what true love is. And as children, we make that love. And it's true. Sometimes our love is kind of wonky, right? But over time, our love resents more and more of our attention. Sometimes our love sounds more complicated than nasty. But over time, the more we are with our love, the more we experience his love in his work, the more we experience his love in his kindness, the more we experience love to others. Believe us and love us, that Christ has loved us, then we begin to mimic and become more and more and more free. There is a problem. There is a problem. We don't approach God as our beloved, that we are beloved children. We approach Him that we are still our child. We approach Him that we are still orphans. And this is a challenge to many children who are adopted. Adopted not to believe in Christ, but they tell you, in the church and parents, different places, and then they struggle to address. They struggle to attend to the museum, to the museum. We are sometimes at the worst. I believe that the adopted children around the world understood the Christian doctrine of adoption, it would help them. Why? Ephesians 1, let's go back to the word here. They are going to speak. No one can ask. The Father adopts us into a family, and He blesses us, and He treats us like He treats their brother. You know who the brother is, but you know who the one is, Jesus Christ. We're adopted into a family with a brother. And here's the beautiful thing. The Father looks at us as He looks at His Son Jesus Christ. He uses the exact same affectionate tone when He talks to us. He sees us as blameless. We have the same access and the same acceptance. We have been blessed in the blood. When we are in Christ, we have full access to our Father. There's no reason for us to hold back. Maybe you start in sin yesterday. Maybe you're struggling. But that doesn't mean you have to stay away from him today. Why do you do that? Why the morning when you wake up and you just think, I can't go to God, I'm still in sin. Why do you do that? He's your Father. He accepts us. He's your Father. He's your Father. He's your Father. Why wait? Why has it been a whole week before some of us have gone to our Father and put into the positive? What's the point of that? It's nothing on his part. He's adopted us. Why are we adjusting so poorly to our Father? You can read to him. This is nothing that tells him that you are a beloved child, completely beloved, a true child, as Christ is himself. It's amazing that Christ shares his Father with us. And how does he teach us to go? He says, I will follow who is in heaven. I will follow. This week, let's go to him. This week, let's experience his love in the world and let's mimic that. Mimic that forgiving, that gracious, that unconditional, and that committed love. Mimicking that to others. You can learn from him. And you have to go to him. They mimic the good, and sometimes they mimic the bad, so you have to be careful. That's crazy. But it's just that simple. Unfortunately, we still have to do a thing to this world. Sometimes I'm afraid that we talk about love more than we actually act out love. And we give us just one thing. I understand the political situation. Thank you. I'm not hearing Christians step up to be foster parents. I'm not hearing Christians take up the mantle to be a faith leader in the church. I'm not hearing Christians going to their neighbors and children, knocking on their door with a name and say, how are you doing? How are your kids doing? How are your spirit going to be? We talked about the other day, that's okay. Where are we? It's that simple. It's just get up and mimic the love of God. We found that we have been reached. Father, see that we have been followed. We understand the value of it. We live by everything. sin, let's say I do something that offends him more, that hurts him more deeply. Yes, I can go to him, I can apologize. But in Jesus' day, no, there's no good time for apologizing. But we understand that there's an increasing atonement price. As the crime increases, the atonement price increases. We have sinned against the holy and perfect God, and the atonement price is death. And now we are not just physical beings. So the atonement price is not just physical death, it's eternal death. This is the price that we have to pay. And then Jesus, seeing that we have to pay this debt, decides, I am going to come and pay this debt for them. This is the atoning blood. Now, some professing Christians, particularly those who are living with that mission before, they lack this idea that they say, God is not a part of the Christian. How can a God of love have such a steep price? If you know that, you need that just for you. But by doing it, you need to start to do it. It will be the best thing to do in the world. And Tim Keller used to know that this God is so clean and wonderful. Imagine that Jesus put in the door and went out to the door and went out to the door. It's done. God's grace is done. All the truth, all the fact, everything is this, all the fact. And then this one individual is going to come up. And he's coming to the building building. I'm going to die for you. And he's running past them. He's like, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for you. And he goes into the building building and he dies. He's pressing the cross. He's dead. Is it love to die for no reason? No, it's not love. It's confused. It's insane. Because by saying our Lord died for no purpose, that he didn't have to give himself up to pay the atoning price, is to say that his sacrifice means nothing. It's to say his life means nothing. It's to say that he's completely and utterly insane, which he is not. He came with a purpose. He came to give himself up for us. It was a sacrifice. Notice what else our text says. He calls it a fragrant offering. No one takes our Savior's life. No one takes it. He lays it down for us. He chooses to die and atone for our sins. And then it's fragrant. It's fragrant. It means that the Father sees his sacrifice. This my wrath. This atones completely for their sins. Now, even in their filth, even in their stench, even in all the things, all I smell is the sweetness of Christ. They are my sin. This is the atoning love of Christ. Notice that the death of Jesus is not only a model, but his love is what we desperately need. And when we understand that we have received the atoning love, what does it do? It moves us. It moves us to love. It's like the wind that fills the sail of the ship and moves it forward. So is the love of Christ. If we really understand it, it moves us, it compels us to be more and more like Jesus. So today, I want to leave us with two practical ways that we can immerse ourselves, that we can really sink our feet into the atoning love of Christ. And we move and push forward in this love. And here we can do it. The first is to personally meditation and prayer. We've been so privileged for the last few weeks to go through this series and talking about spiritual disciplines, talking about things like prayer, personal meditation, and fasting. And this can be a way for you to reflect. Please go back, look over this, and these are critical. This is how we fill our lives with the love. We need to dig deep into this work. We can do that by looking back at the general time. We have to start something that's happening moving forward. Pastor Jason currently announced that it's a great hope. And also, we only need to listen. Please take one when you go. Starting next Sunday, I'm counting every single day. Every single day, you, your family, take time to step back. Open it up, read, meditate, fast, pray, set your mind on your tummy. Love Christ, you have a unique opportunity. Let's not miss this. The second way that we can miss our sanity is not to allow our on your head. You know, it's been over 100 days since we've been able to do this. Isn't that mind-blowing? 100 days since we could gather with this. I want to say this one last thing to you. Notice all of the plural. Therefore, the imitators, right? That's plural, imitators. As beloved children, not the beloved child, but as beloved children. In walking love as Christ loved us. Not just me, but us. And gave himself up for us. Everything here is in the plural. We live out this command to know the love of God and develop the love of God in community. We live this out in fellowship. The whole point, right, of here is that we love one another. How better to love one another than to be together? And so I'm thankful, that you've made the commitment to be here right now. I'm going to tell you that in the weeks to come, it's going to get better. Today's exciting, stretch your back, and in the weeks to come, it's going to be hard. Commit yourself every week to be here, to be together, to sit under the Word of God, to worship together, and together understand the love of God, and together restore the love to one another, and of course, to those outside the world. Now, look around. I know there's only 50 or so of us in here. You think, who's not here? And who's not at the other two services? Who's been missing? Who is someone I should reach out to and show the love of Christ to? Who should I invite to be here with us? These are the things that we need to be thinking about. And the Bible gives you love. And I think it's very easy to serve each other if it's not for a self-action. Let us pray about that. It's talking about the situation in this week. And if we need to set up a standing by the situation, and then see how we're going to be.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.